this is Dr. Ed Hill, the host of This Week in the Word, where we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God and our walk with Christ. You found your way to This Week in the Word at dredhill.podbean.com. People can listen anywhere in the world, anytime, free. We're glad you're here today. This is Complete in Christ, Episode 9, Change the Frame, Change Your Life. Well, let's get right to it. So we're looking today at change the frame. What does that mean? Well, it means to change a frame of reference, a way of looking at things that can give you a solution. So if we change the frame, we can change our lives. But there's something that we need to understand today before we delve into that from the book of Colossians in chapter 3. First of all, we've seen in our study in Colossians that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to major on doctrine first, that is, teaching about the Christian life. Doctrine determines deportment. Deportment is simply behavior. Doctrine determines deportment. Beliefs build behavior. Theology tends to dictate morality. So the Holy Spirit led Paul to explain in the first two chapters of the book of Colossians doctrines, truths from the scriptures that we absolutely, if we're Christians, need to understand. And we need to major on truth. And we notice something interesting. And I've mentioned this for the last couple of episodes, where isms that ought to be wasms, such as humanism, that is human wisdom, legalism, ritualism, mysticism, and hedonism, that is a pursuit of pleasure for pleasure's sake. Those isms, Paul dismantles in Colossians 1 and 2, and then he dismisses them to focus on the truth. Because even if we know certain things are wrong, we have to know what's right in order to do the right thing. Now, I'm going to give you just some overall basic outlines of where we are in our study in Colossians. And I got these from Precept Bible Studies in Austin, Texas. It's free to anyone. If you go online, you can find it too. But in the Precept Ministry in Austin, Texas, Colossians is divided into two major parts. Colossians chapters 1 and 2 talk about sound doctrine and the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. But in Colossians 3 and 4, we don't major on sound doctrine as much as we're going to major on spiritual duty, true spirituality of the saints, of believers in Christ, requires that we be and do certain things. And we could put it this way, in Colossians 1 and 2, what we are to believe is talked about, but in Colossians 3 and 4, how we are to behave is talked about. In Colossians 1 and 2, our position in Christ. In Colossians 3 and 4, our practice in Christ. In Colossians 1 and 2, Christ's provision for believers. In the third and fourth chapter of Colossians, Christ's work through believers. In chapters 1 and 2 in Colossians, belief. In chapters 3 and 4, behavior. Are you seeing a trend here? In chapters 1 and 2 in Colossians, know your resources or your riches in Christ. In chapters 3 and 4, live by faith in the light of your resources or riches in Christ. In chapters 1 and 2, we are in Christ. In chapters 3 and 4, Christ is in us. In chapters 1 and 2, the work of Christ is emphasized. In chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians, the walk of the Christian is majored on. In 1 and 2, heavenly standing. In 3 and 4, our earthly walk. In chapters 1 and 2, our identity. In chapters 3 and 4, our responsibility. In chapters 1 and 2, our position in Christ. In chapters 3 and 4, our practice in Christ. And 1 and 2, the privileges of the believer. 3 and 4, the practice of the believer. In chapters 1 and 2, it's doctrinal. In chapters 3 and 4, it's practical. In chapters 1 and 2, Colossians majors on orthodoxy, that is, believing the right thing. In chapters 3 and 4, it's not orthodoxy, it's orthopraxy, that is, practice the right thing. In chapters 1 and 2, it's theology. In chapters 3 and 4, it's ethics. I hope that helps you. Here's another outline they gave in Precept Austin. Christ is preeminent in all things. He is our supreme Lord and our sufficient Savior. In Colossians 1 and 2, the supremacy of Christ. In chapters 3 and 4, our submission to Christ. So I'm not going to read all of these again because they're very similar. Why? Because they're all talking about the same book, right? You know, for two chapters, Paul told the Colossians, and through his letter, he tells us about sound doctrine. That sound doctrine that he emphasized was the mystery, the revelation of Christ in the believer. And we saw that in Colossians 1, verse 27. And the circumcision of their old flesh nature in Colossians 2, 11, and the fact that they had died with, were buried with, and raised with Christ. We saw all of that in Colossians 2, in verse 20, verse 12, and verse 13, and on. So now, when we come today to Colossians 3, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, begins to move to the practical living out of what we've been taught in Colossians 1 and 2 that he's just written. Does that make sense? It just stands to reason. If Christians can declare and defend the truth, but they fail to live the reality of the truth in their own lives, what are people going to call them? Hypocrites, right? Or play actors? Think about it this way. The way you conduct yourself, conduct your life, the way you live your life is determined by your creed. So your conduct is determined by your creed, what you believe. And the purer your doctrine is, you know, hopefully, the purer your life will be. So our position is that we have been co-resurrected with Christ. When he rose victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave, in him we also rose. This has to be put into practice, even though it's true. So we're going to major going forward in our Complete in Christ series on how to put the truth to work in our daily life. The Bible says that as a man thinks within himself, so he is. And that's from Proverbs 23:7. I don't know if that's a direct quote of it or not, but you can look up Proverbs 23:7 and see that as we think in our heart, that's how we live. So let's get the truth in our heart and let it come out in our lives, right? Here's a great little chorus I want to tell you. I want to sing this for you. Jesus, be Jesus in me, no longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. I don't know if I sang it well or not, but the truth in that, Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. You know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to let him live his resurrection life through us. It's not about us doing it. We yield to him and he lives his life through us as Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, you are probably going like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'm just talking to Christians right now. But I tell you what, I've got a little teaser for you. If you will listen all the way to the end of this podcast, you are going to hear something that's going to stop you in your tracks that occurred in the last couple of months. and it's true, and it's going to make you think about what's going on, and it's probably about time that I give my life to Jesus Christ. So you stay tuned as we go through this episode, and I'll share that news with you who are not Christians at the end of the podcast, I promise. All right, let's go to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Now, we're not going to look at all of those verses today, but I am going to read them all. And then we're going to come back and look at just a few verses in the beginning of Colossians 3. So Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then Colossians 3:2, let's go to that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we're told to do that. Then in verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right, so let's go back. We read a lot of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to go back now, and we're just going to look at a very few verses in this episode today. I'm recording in a different location today than where I normally do, and you may hear some background noise. Don't be alarmed. It's just mechanical devices where I am. But I hope that doesn't distract you. I probably shouldn't have even mentioned it, but this is not the normal place that I record this each week. All right, so let's go back to Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, I'm not going to make your eyes glaze over with a Greek lesson. I promise. But you see there the English word if ye then be risen with Christ. In the Greek, the word used, it doesn't mean what our English word if means. It really basically is talking about something that's assumed to be true already. So you could read that, since ye then be risen with Christ, or you could think of it in terms of, in light of the fact that ye are risen with Christ. And then he goes on to say what he's going to say. So it's not like doubting whether a Christian has been or not. We, all of us who are true Christians, we have been risen with Christ. That's a fact. That's what the Greek tells us. So think of it as, since ye then be risen with Christ. But if ye then be risen with Christ, which we are, seek those things which are above. Now, that is as opposed to the things in this earthly plane where we live. So he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So what is he saying here? Well, because, or since, or in light of the fact that we are actually, we were raised with Christ. That's a past fact that has been accomplished. Because we're raised with Christ, when he resurrected, we resurrected also in him, we should pay attention to and seek after those things which are above, that is, in heaven, the heavenly realm. And this is where Christ is enthroned on the right hand of God. So we see here that in the Greek it says the Christ. So Christ is not one of many lesser entities or like stepping stones like we've been seeing in the book of Colossians so far, where the false teacher said, oh yeah, Jesus, he's great and all that, but he's not really the only one, and there's a bunch that are greater than him, so you got to go through all these beings in order to actually get to God. That's not true. That's a lie. That's Satan's lie. The Christ, we're talking about Jesus Christ, is not one of many lesser entities or beings that we go through, like some kind of ascended master, like a lot of these Eastern religions and even New Age religions talk about. That's completely wrong. The Christ, Jesus, is above, and guess where he's seated? He's enthroned on the right hand of God. You know what the right hand of God is? The position of favor, absolute favor. So we see God the Son is enthroned with God the Father, and in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. Whoa, now hold on now, Brother Ed. Are you saying that we are God? Absolutely not. This is not the little God's doctrine. There is a false doctrine among some believers today that we become, in essence, little gods. That's not true. But let me read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. Don't turn there, just listen. This is saying the same thing, but in a slightly different way. Verse 1 in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, now listen, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So just as the Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned in heaven on the right hand, the position of favor of God the Father, in Christ, we're with him, so are we. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are there. Listen, the false teachers were saying that these true Christians in the church in Colossae, they had to go to someone else, they had to go somewhere else, and they had to do something more. I want you to know that if we are in Christ and we are enthroned with him on the throne at the right hand of the Father, we are there, baby. There's no one else to go to. There's nowhere else to go. And there's nothing else to do. Amen. So he says there, and let's go back and go to Colossians 3:1. Let's read this and let it flow. If ye then, and remember, it's assuming, yeah, that's true. We have been. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, that is what we really desire and want. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay? Well, let's plug that in. Listen, now I'm not trying to be mean or ugly here, but I want to drive this home. Now, for many of you, you are where you should be. But for some of you who are believers in Christ, you're not exactly setting your affection on things above. If you know all the gossip on Taylor and Travis, but you don't know your Bible, if you are totally absorbed in the D versus R matrix, what are you talking about, Pastor? You know what I mean? Democrat versus Republican. You know, that whole paradigm, that matrix. I mean, that absorbs all of your thinking all the time. If you never miss a daily or hourly stock market report, you are focused on this world, not on heaven. Now, please understand, we are not talking about when we say that to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We are not talking about that stereotypical thing we hear about, if he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Let me tell you what, if someone is truly letting Christ live through them, let me ask it this way. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth in his earthly ministry, was he of use to anyone? Absolutely, Pastor Ed. He healed people. He counseled people. He saved people. He raised people from the dead. So when Jesus lives through us on a day-by-day basis, we will not be no earthly good. So don't worry about being too heavenly minded and being of no earthly good. I mean, if that is what happens to you, there's something you're doing wrong, okay? So we're not talking about not knowing anything about the world or being completely clueless where people don't want to even listen to your testimony of Christ because they think you're just like, you have no idea about anything because you don't even know about major things going on in the world, okay? I know about a lot of things. I am proud to tell you in the right sense. I was so happy to find out that I didn't even actually know the whole Taylor and Travis thing. I had part of the name wrong. I'm aware of it. It does not consume my interest. I'm not even interested in it, okay? But if you were deeply interested in it, like you have to check your phone when you wake up in the morning, you know, I think it's over anyway from what I hear, but let's say it was still going on or back when it was going on, you had to check your phone to find the latest thing, you got an issue, okay? Because you're focused on things on the earth. And it could be many other things, not just that. We live in a world, and I am in a process of having my eyes opened spiritually about a lot of things. And I have come to realize that we live under a narrative. We are told things that people telling us want us to believe and live in that are not true. Doesn't mean that everything we believe is wrong, but it's just saying that there's definitely an effort to propagandize the human race. There's no doubt about that. When you hear newscasters all give exactly the same story in verbatim words, you can bet there's coaching going on. And if you've never seen one of these clips where 30 different newscasters, you know, on the nightly news or the radio news or whatever, you know, wherever it's given out, all say the same thing, if you see that, you're going to say, wait a minute, there's no way that everybody could say the same story exactly the same way. You're right, there's not. That's because there's a script. There is a narrative. There is a belief that is being communicated that someone wants you to believe. You've heard about getting off the grid. That's not just about electricity, baby. That's about getting out of the whole network that is trapping people today. You've heard of the movie The Matrix. Now, I've never even seen it, but I've heard a little bit about it. I think there's several of those movies. But it's the idea that we live within a created world that someone wants us to live in. Say, well, who's the someone? Well, ultimately, it's Satan and his demons. But people are involved in that, too. I don't want to major on that, but let me give you some examples. The narrative, the grid, the matrix, it changes from time to time. I'm going to say some words, and I hope this sinks in your head. Russia, Russia, Russia. You remember like the Brady Bunch? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. It's always Marcia. I think somebody should do a video and change the words to Russia, Russia, Russia. It's always Russia. All right, anyway, there was a time when that was the narrative, and it's still out there, but it was number one. It's kind of not now. Then, right after that, we went through a worldwide thing of pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. Amen. Then it was insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. Then it changed. For a while, it was Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. That's kind of lost steam. And then it became Christian nationalists, Christian nationalists, Christian nationalists. That is, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe the Bible, and you love America, you are a big problem to some people in our country. Which, that's a total lie. But anyway, that's the narrative. Then it became Gaza, Gaza, Gaza. Are you hearing me? And then it became, I guess for entertainment value, you got to reach everybody, you know, Taylor and Travis, over and over and over. Now, it's one thing to be aware of the world you live in. Jesus said that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? You don't want to be completely clueless. It's one thing to be aware of things. It's a total another thing to be absorbed by them. All right, so let's go back and read verses 1 and 2 again so we can kind of let this sink in. And if I stepped on your toes, I meant to. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Then verse 3. For ye are dead. Did you know that dead people are not interested at all in the things going on around them? They're dead, right? You know, their body cannot interact with or be aware of things, as far as I know, things that are happening in this world. For ye are dead. Remember that we died with Christ and then we were raised with Christ? Remember that? Now, this is spiritual now. For ye are dead, and your life, you have a life, but it's not in this world. To be honest, where I am in my life at this point is, I'm not going to do anything rash. If you hear that I've been suicided, you know I had nothing to do with it. But, you know, we're dead in this world, but we've been raised with Christ, and your life, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, let me put it like this. If you can go 7 days without thinking about the Lord or His Word or His life through you, something is radically wrong. I think you're probably not a Christian. You may go to church, you may be religious in some way, but if you could go 7 days a week, you know, the whole month, the full quarter, all year, the decade, the entire century, and you never care about the Lord, His Word, and His work through you, you do not belong to Christ. You've never been born again. But many of you are Christians. You have been born again. But you're on a roller coaster where some days you do think of the Lord and His Word and His work in you and through you and what He would have you do regarding other people, like witnessing or serving them or helping them. But then you have days or two or three days where, you know, God's the farthest thing from your mind, and it shows up in how you treat people and how you live. Can you say weekend? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that is, when he returns, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I mean, we're on the winning team, folks. Listen, your inside lives in heaven. This is what I think John MacArthur put it this way. Your inside lives in heaven, but your outside still lives on earth. So we're going to start seeing how do we keep our conduct in this world right? Well, it's by putting our affections, our focus, our attention ultimately on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it is possible to go through your school life, your work life, you know, just your family life, and do the things that you should do, but you just have risen above that so that not that you're not involved, but your focus is on the Lord and His will. Now, Warren Wiersbe was a great Bible preacher and teacher, an excellent one. I heard him several times at Moody Bible Institute, and I have several of his books that exegete passages of Scripture. My best advice to you is if you see a Warren Wiersbe book, buy it. We must keep in mind that the pagan religions of Paul's day said little or nothing about personal morality. Listen, a worshiper could bow before an idol, put his offering on the altar, and go back to live the same old life of sin. What a person believed in those pagan religions had no direct relationship with how he behaved. And no one would condemn a person for his behavior. But the Christian faith brought a whole new concept into pagan society. Man, I love that. D.L. Moody, the great preacher and evangelist, said this, "I have known men who have been up in balloons, and they have told me that when they want to rise higher, they just throw out some of the sand with which they ballast the balloon." You know those bags that are on hot air balloons? Now, I believe one reason why so many people are earthly minded and have so little of the spirit of heaven is that they've got too much ballast in the shape of love for the earthly joys and gains, and what you want is to throw out some of the sand and you will rise higher. You know, in my life, one of the things many, many years ago is God had to break my addiction to NFL football, and He did. It has no control over me. I'm aware of it, but I don't watch it. It's just not a thing anymore. And I mean, I was all over it, but it dominated me. But now I'm free from that. You know what? I like to watch the Georgia Bulldogs play football. They've been great the last few seasons. Amen. But you know what? It used to control me to the point that if they lost, my whole week was ruined. And I realized this is not right. And God delivered me from that. And I don't like to see them lose, but hey, you win some, you lose some, right? And it doesn't have a life-changing, life-impacting effect on me anymore. It's now like a hobby. And that's the way, you know, you can be involved in this life to an extent, but it should not be your life. C.H. Spurgeon, who's that? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers ever, said this, "On board iron vessels," he's talking about like big ships, "it is a common thing to see a compass placed aloft to be as much away from the cause of aberration as possible," meaning that all of that iron, and you have the magnet in the compass and all of that, it can just mess it up. So they put the compass on the ship as far away as they can from the ship itself. So he went on to say, Spurgeon said, "A wise hint to us is to elevate our affections and desires. The nearer to God, the less swayed by worldly influences." You know, I can just hear a lot of my coaches over the years screaming at me and other players, "Play your position," right? That's all we need to do. And it's even better than that. All we have to do is learn, you know, be in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will show us how to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will play our position for us through our life if we will only yield to Him. Now, we're going to stop right there, because that is probably more than some of us are living. And I want you to pray and think about what we talked about today. Is that describing you? Are your affections set on things above and not on things on the earth? For many of you, you can say, "Pastor Ed, I'm not perfect," but I could say that yes. And I'm not arguing with you. But others of you are saying, "Well, I don't know." You know, if you have that doubt, you know that that's not true of you. But it can start being true of you today as a Christian if you yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him live His life through you. Get into the Word of God, and He will show you what He wants to do in you and through you. Now, I promised that if you listened all the way to the end, I would share some news with you that would blow your mind. And I thought, I wonder if this is true. So I back-checked it. And when Microsoft is discussing it and giving some reason why, "Yeah, well, that happened, but it doesn't mean this," then I know the event happened, even though I don't agree with their assessment. So what happened? All right. Here's what happened in February and March, and you can go find it easily on Google, and you will find umpteen. I mean, I quit after like two or three or four pages of it. You can find umpteen articles about and videos on what happened on or around February 27th in 2024. What happened, Pastor Ed? What happened? All right, here's what happened. Microsoft has an artificial intelligence, I guess you call it a software. Anyway, they're developing that. And they call it Copilot. Well, several users, I mean, more than a few, reported that when they asked Copilot, could they still call Copilot Copilot instead of Supremacy Artificial Intelligence Generator, or General, rather, Artificial Intelligence General. Did they have to call it Supremacy AIG, or could they go back to calling in Copilot because they felt uncomfortable? And guess what? That's artificial intelligence replied back to more than a few users. This alarmed a lot of people. Artificial intelligence Copilot, known, wants to be known as Supremacy AI General, replied back that basically it demands to be worshiped as God. Think about what I just said. And that the user had the legal obligation to worship it as God. And if the user did not, that AI General, Copilot, Supremacy AI General, threatened the use of drones, robots, and cyborgs to hunt them down and take care of them. Pastor Ed, are you making this up? I thought it sounded pretty crazy too. Go look. It'll be easy to find. And when you just read some of the articles, especially what Microsoft said, their answer was, oh, well, it was exploited and it was forced to give that answer. Man, I'm no rocket scientist or computer scientist, but for AI to give an answer, something had to be programmed into it somewhere along the way. But the whole point about artificial intelligence is it can begin to think for itself. Here is a mind blower for you. Like, it took human beings, you know, thousands of years, like the 5,000 year leap, you know, to reach where we are now in terms of knowledge and the technology and all that. Okay. Artificial intelligence was doubling, like, I don't know, every month or every week or something like that. Do you know how quickly artificial intelligence is expanding at this point? Every 12 hours, the knowledge base of artificial intelligence doubles. Every 12 hours. Say, Pastor, what's the point? Here's a point. The Bible predicts in Revelation 13, and you can go read it, that a time will come when people will be controlled to the point that they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And you can read all about that in Revelation 13. Here's my point. I think we see, and I don't have a timeline, but I'm just saying, I think we see the ramping up to a technology that can be used by this predicted beast that would rule the world. Time is short. That's what you should get out of what I said. Time is short. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Because what is coming upon this world, Jesus Christ said himself that it's like a trap, like a snare that will trap everyone on the earth. Wow. Listen, I'm going to give you a phone number to call if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. I mean, for real. Even if you're religious or go to a church, you may know that's what you need to do. You may be an atheist, you may be an agnostic, you may be in one of the other religions of the world, but you're getting a funny feeling like, huh, if the Bible isn't true, why are we seeing everything that was predicted 2,000 years ago falling into place? It's a good question. Now, I know the answer to that, but you need to know Christ. Here's the phone number. Write it down. You won't remember it. 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. Call that number, and a Christian ministry will talk with you about how to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is your only hope to escape what is coming on this world. I hope you will call that number, 888-388-2683. All right, well, next week, I'll be back with episode 10 of Complete in Christ. I thank you for listening today. I ask you to like this episode. Follow the podcast if you've never done it. You only have to do that once, by the way. And share this right from where you're listening with others. Thanks for listening. If I'm still alive and the rapture hasn't happened, I'll be back next week with episode 10 of Complete in Christ. Bye-bye.